What keeps you up at night? The unknowns of running a business, growing pains, benefit cost increases, whatever's keeping you up, Arion can give you peace of mind when it comes to HR services. Arion helps you navigate the complexities of employment by providing attractive and competitive benefits, handling your payroll, onboarding, compliance, and more. Plus, Arion is local, so you can have face-to-face interaction with your HR experts. Turn business concerns into business success. Visit AURION.com.
What is executive presence? When someone talks about an individual possessing professional or executive presence, they are talking about the perception that person creates through how he or she interacts in formal and informal settings, in all modes of communication. Terrell International offers a one-day professional presence workshop where you learn how to develop and consistently communicate your professional brand. Visit terrell.com. That's T-E-R-O.com to learn more. This is Michelle from the Tarot team.
Insight on Business, the News Hour with Michael Libby is made possible through the support of Arion, Human Resources and More for businesses and nonprofits. AURION.com. Remax Concepts, real estate professionals with offices in the Des Moines Metro, Nevada, and Cedar Rapids. RealEstateConcepts.net.
It is the Business News Hour, and what do? Each week we do marketing for business. Welcome to episode 12 with Phil James of Good Milkshake Digital. Phil, it's cooking, man.
Michael, yeah. This is always the highlight of my week.
You say that every week, man.
Because it's true.
That crap's got to stop. You're telling people this stuff, and it just makes me crazy.
Just don't tell my wife every week.
I know.
She says, well, aren't I the highlight of your week?
Well,
yes.
Well said. well said. What are we talking about this way as we market for business? What we hope, ladies and gentlemen, is that you're listening to this and you're going to find some nuggets, some secrets, some things that will turn your business from eh to wow, and how you have the power in your hands sometimes to make all that happen.
Right. And, you know, we talk about this every week. It's, you talk about something in your hand. Here you have... the opportunity to basically have the written word,
right?
Have the spoken word, like we're doing here, and also probably most importantly these days on these platforms is video.
Yep.
And so it's, we talk about this every week. There's a tremendous opportunity for people in their pocket.
Yeah.
And just pull out your phone to broadcast to the world, right?
But you got to know what you're going to broadcast, and you got to know who you're going to broadcast it to,
right?
And all those important
mm-hmm.
things. Well, we have taken a side trip. Last week, we were talking about banking.
Mm-hmm.
What a boring son of a gun Josh Fleming is, right?
But luckily, he was the most interesting banker that we could have talked to.
He
right?
was great.
Yeah. That's kind of like... what do they call the person that's a last in their class?
Yeah,
last in their class in medical school is a doctor, right? Last in their class in law school is a governor, right? Right. So,
this week we're moving from the banking world into the restaurant world, and Tony Lemo is our point of contact at Aposto. And we're going to find out more about that and your relationship that goes back with Tony, what, a bazillion years?
Over 20 years. Actually, probably before that. Tony doesn't remember this, but back when Tony was a football player at the University of Northern Iowa, he was a lineman. And he, I was working, I was actually in the UNI Dining Center, the Towers Dining Center. Right, it's one of the dorms.
Bender and
Dancer, right?
It was Dancer.
Two towers. Okay. And did you lived in Dancer,
or
you did? Okay. So basically, we didn't really know each other then, but you came. I was working in the dining center, actually. And
trying to pay for school.
Well, yeah, of course.
Yeah.
And so I, the $5.25 an hour or whatever they paid.
Right.
And I was dishing out some food, and you came through the line, and I introduced myself. But I don't think you like made the connection there. I was like, well, we went to Dowling together and all that stuff. But I think that was my first connection to Tony, right?
Yeah.
And then of course, we became friends. got to know each other a little bit, and we actually became roommates after college, and which is sort of how our story began with the restaurant, right?
With the business of food.
Right.
He watched the whole thing from start to finish.
The whole thing for what? Tony, the whole thing for what?
Cafe di Scala, Posto Gusto, the whole thing. So I was, when Phil and I lived together up the street actually from where we are now, I was planning Cafe di Scala, which went into the Metro Market, which is now Gateway Market. So he was kind of watching the business plan unfold and you know, bringing home all this food I was trying out in my mom's kitchen. So yeah, he's been there since day one.
All right. So this restaurant that we're sitting in right now, a Posto, which used to be known as Cafe di Scala, which, what was it before it was Cafe di Scala?
Chat Noir.
It was what?
Chat Noir.
What was that?
Well, it means the, well, you speak French, Black Cat Cafe, right?
Come on. was that part of you?
No. That was Walter and Michelle Janke that bought this beautiful house, which it wasn't at one time, back in 93. Wow. They bought it for $25,000 as it was slated to be condemned by the city of Des Moines. It was in such bad shape. So they bought it, renovated it for an entire year, and opened the Chat Noir. And then they had a nice little 9-year run, closed it in 2004. And I was, we were 25? Mid-20s, mm-hmm, with a dream, no money, and bought this place and renovated it for 45 days and opened it in 05, back in July 29th of 05.
And what was the magic of Cafe di Scala back in 05, 06, 07? What was it that caused so much interest among so many diners?
Definitely the popularity and kind of almost the cult-like following the Chat Noir had, because it was it was different. There was absolutely nothing like it. You're in a 125-year-old home, for starters, you know, having a meal, still does have a beautiful wraparound porch. I think the menu and the coffee and the hours were just so surreal, you know, for
at conventional. That time.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, there was no nightlife downtown. There was no restaurants. There was no Centro. There was no Masonic Temple. There was no library. There was no, you know,
I remember those.
There was a Court Avenue, was like a,
was,
you know,
Java Joe's. Yeah,
right. I mean, there was no Starbucks. I mean, this is pre-everything. These guys opened this place in 93, you know, when you had, you know,
that was it.
Was it Nudie Blue?
That was on Grand?
It was a little seedy. There was a lot of just seediness here.
Down there, yeah, that was...
And in this neighborhood, to be honest with you. The neighborhood back then was, you know, was an idea. I think they had just got it designated as a...
we're talking about Sherman Hill, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, I think it was... Actually, it was prior to that, I'm pretty sure. It was right after they opened the Chat Noir. It was designated as a historical district. Yeah. So it was
It's a beautiful facility and a great place. And Phil, you for a time worked here, right?
Yeah, I was here on opening night. Actually, if you look around there, if you look around the space here, yeah. You can still see the paint job that my wife and I did on... You know, the little gold things in the corners, really? And, you know, right, the frames and the doors and things like that. So, you know, we basically came in here. Tony conned us with some Centro pizza and a couple beers. And, you know, this is back before we had kids. Mm-hmm. So this is actually right after Nicole and I got married. He opened that summer.
So this is a sweat equity opportunity for you.
Right. And so, you know, he needed somebody to open up. I think, you know, looking for some servers, and he was like, Phil and Nicole, do you want to come in and work? So I was here on opening night. I worked here on opening night. And I think I actually waited tables that night, which was a disaster.
Absolutely.
It was a terrible disaster.
Thank God there wasn't Yelp back then, because we would have never gotten off the ground.
Oh, yeah. It was, you know, but anyway, but what really stuck with me then and about this place is there's, I think there's a sense of family that is in the water. And I don't know what it is about, you know, I think it probably has something to do with the space, but it also has just as much to do with Tony and his family and the fact that you're self-trained in the kitchen, you know, by mom, right? And that there's something about that part of it which is lost in so many restaurants.
I was going to say it is about Tony and his family. I mean, this is a guy that if you see him once or if you see him once a year, he still is one of these warm individuals that comes up and first gives you a hug. You know, and that, that's something that doesn't happen in so many places. And you're a warm human being, and so that's what this is.
And he always smells good.
Yeah, I noticed that. Yeah. I noticed that. So let's fast forward from Discala, and then you and Josh and
Joe,
thanks, started this goofy pizza business. Frank's was originally, right?
Exactly, yeah.
And then it became Gusto Pizza.
Mm-hmm.
What were you thinking?
Oh, I always had a great product. I always wanted to do a pizzeria, and we started Frank's in the Drake neighborhood in a small little building adjacent to Mars Cafe, where Phil cut his teeth as a business owner, and Larry, his brother. And Larry talked me into re-resurrecting the place that was there prior. It was called Cookery. I think it was Cookery, right? Yeah. So, you know, I honestly, I never thought I'd still be in this business at this age, this ripe age of 39 and a half. So I kind of want to have a backup plan, specifically this house, this business, because it is a lot of, it's a labor of love. It's a lot of work with, you know, most of the reward is a hug or, you know, someone sending you a personal note, like saying, thanks for making our anniversary magical. Oh, yeah. Or those are things that keep you coming back. It's not about the money here by any means at a place this size. So the pizzeria was always kind of like my 401k, I like to call it, my backup plan, you know, if I wanted
just
to get out.
Case.
Or, you know, just a little extra money, you know, just a little. So we opened that in 2007, and it went great. Won best pizza the first year we were open. You know, that's a huge deal. And Justin Gross and I opened that together, my original partner. And we just kind of outgrew the space. The parking was an issue. It wasn't super family-friendly at night, and that was a big deal. So we decided he'd graduated from law school, and I knew it needed to move, and we closed the doors. And then, you know, I bought him out and got Joe and Josh, presented them the idea. And long story short, met with Flynn Wright and came up with a new name and logo and rolled the doors back open, and you were there. Oh, you have it on video. It's out there. It's out there on
there. I will never forget that event. It's that with zero market, I mean, zero spend in any traditional.
Right.
You guys had what was called supposed to be a soft opening.
Right. And that's pre-Facebook sponsored ads, too, might you add. So literally, no, it wasn't just like no conventional print or radio. It was like $0 were spent. Zero.
Zero.
Word of mouth.
Right. And some of the most inventive videos I think I've ever seen that kept everything at a mystery, but still was able to get that vibe going on. And it turned out to be a wonderful place. And now how many Gustos are there?
So we just opened our fourth one in Clock Tower Square in December. So fourth and last one. So I want to make that clear. So we're comfortable here. And that's, I think that's the magic number. All so. Right.
So now I want to also fast forward, if I can, Tony, and then we're going to talk about a little bit about marketing, if that's all right, because this is called Marketing for Business, episode 12. So I was reading Jim Duncan the other day in City View. And I know that you had a Cafe de Scala, and it was just a beautiful place, and my wife and I would love coming to the Beatles brunch, man. That was just so cool, and the food is always tremendous, and the staff is always great. And then, poof.
Exactly.
You went away. and it was about the time. Was it about the time that your mother died?
I had started, you know, I was already kind of talking about this with her days prior to her leaving us, but just wanting to get out, as I mentioned.
Yeah.
I think it's time to get out, you know, and, you know, she left us, and then there was just a lot of soul searching. And I said, you know, there's just so many great memories here. What Phil was just talking about prior, you know, painting and having pizza and beers and him watching the whole thing start from scratch. It was, I realized, you know, we can do this, but just change it up a little bit. So it's just not so burdensome. So it's not so consuming. So it's not so stressful. So that was like the absolutely sole reason. And, you know, I think it's fair to say, you know, the press we got, the recognition of our wine cellar to, you know, Chef Shires getting a James Beard nod, all of those things are those are amazing things to happen for someone, you know, in their early 30s.
It was.
And without any money, without partners, without, you know, just, I mean, really, it was a credit card and you know,
a lot of hard work.
$1,200 in the bank account from waiting tables. That's how this whole thing started, truly. And I think, so your question was, why?
So then, it went away.
Went away.
And you came up with a Posto.
Right.
That was an event center. And Jim Duncan in the City View talks about, well, confusing. This is confusing. And I have to somewhat agree with my friend Jim.
I'll throw both hands in there and tell you it was. It still is confusing.
What the hell are you doing, you know?
Yeah.
And so then a Posto was here as a special event center.
Yeah.
And now you're reopened as a restaurant.
We are. We're a full-fledged restaurant again. So, you know, we still do private events on days we're not open. Actually, days we are open, you know, people can still do events here.
So what was the call to go back and do that?
Cash flow.
An honest man. I love it.
Cash flow, and honestly, it was a year and a half of putting in a really hard fight and trying to make it work. And it was, like, the last 6 months we got it working. But it's like, you know, all this work, all these nights staying up, what can we do better? How can we get more business in here? You know, after so long, it's just like, all right, common sense prevails. Right. You sell or you reinvent yourself again. Yeah. So we kind of reinvented ourselves. We kept the name because I think the name is very meaningful. It means everything's right. It's a phrase that Italians use quite loosely. So everything is right here. Everything was right with Scala. Everything's right when we were just doing private events, but it was just, you know, the market. I think I grossly underestimated the market here, like how big of a market there was for venues this size. And the tickets, the ticket sales only, you know, reservations. If you buy the ticket, come in one day a week. On Saturday nights, which originally was one night a month, and then we changed it to every Saturday, and then we, you know, so it kind of opened itself back up, and I realized let's hire two full time chefs, let's make a little investment in the decor, you know, let's do it right, and let's open a fourth day to make it worthwhile. So we're here, we are.
A Posto, ladies and gentlemen, that's the name of the restaurant with Tony Lemo. All right, let's talk marketing here for just a little bit. You've been through several iterations of this particular building, and throughout Tony's career, you've known him forever. We've already established that. Mm-hmm. What is it that Tony's doing that you think, I mean, you're the guy. You're the guy that knows this stuff. What is it that Tony's doing that he might want to do differently?
Well, first of all, I think it starts with a brilliant story. I think I want to start with the great stuff, right? And, you know, the fact that, yes, there's beautiful building and there's a great story of Mom's Kitchen and, you know, sort of building it from, I mean, let's be honest, this is like, you know, I was in here when he was cutting his own boards. He was shining his own, you know, banisters. He was putting up his own light fixtures, kind of. Right?
I wear a lot of hats. Right. I wear a lot of hats, definitely.
Right. So, you know, and, you know, there's, you don't see that sort of feel. You don't really get a feel that from a lot of restaurant owners. I mean, let's be honest. There are a lot of restaurant owners that are either chefs first, or they're looking for an investment opportunity, or they're just somebody that loves food. And I think what makes Tony interesting and unique is that he sort of wears all those things because he does like fully understand flavor, and especially he understands the food that he loves and he grew up with. In addition to the story behind all that stuff. Mm-hmm. So I think it starts with a brilliant story. And
how do you tell that story?
Well, I think what he's been able to do is he breaks down the idea of simple ingredients. So, I mean, he could probably tell you this better than I could, but like flour, eggs, water, salt, that makes pasta. Put it on the table, you know, fold it up, put it into, you know, sort of a simple rolling process, and all that stuff sort of it tells the story of this place better than anything, because you can sort of take that story, package it up in a video, then you can put it in there with the capolaccis that he you know, that's sort of the butternut squash capolaccis, and the brown sage sugar, butter sauce. Mm-hmm. And then you can talk about all the stories that are behind that one dish in a way that's interesting and unique. And, you know, you could put it into a video. You can, you know, so he's done all that stuff well. And I think when people come here, they expect, you know, they expect that story to come through in the food.
Hmm.
Right? And that's the same with the desserts. I mean, you can go through the Italian wedding cake and the you know, flourless chocolate torte. There's this story behind each one of those things that is, okay, this one ingredient is in this little town of Scalicelli in you know, the hills of Calabria. And, you know, you can probably go back and find an ingredient in each one of the dishes that's unique and interesting about everything that's served here. Even though there's a French influence, even though there's a Mediterranean influence, it all goes back to the story of where the origins of where all this stuff started.
And sharing that story is critically important.
You want to share it?
It's sharing that story is critically important, but I'm going to turn now to Tony and say something to him, because this really gets to me emotionally. Your love for your mother is out of sight. And I think every story that you tell and every dish that you prepare is somehow tied to that love and devotion. Am I missing something?
You nailed it. I mean, majority of this menu here, I should say probably, you know, half of Oposo now is letting the young guns back there, you know, bring it to the next tier. But there are those dishes that are quintessential, you know, Luann Lemo, that will always be on that menu, you know, and I display them proudly and I remind them over and over again. Not that I have to, but, you know, when it's something's really good,
mm-hmm,
and perfect, you just need to let it be.
That's supposed
just
to.
Just let it be. so those dishes.
That is,
like, yeah.
See, I think that's the underlying story here, is that this generation has taken something from a prior generation. And we all love our parents. But I think when you honor them through something like this, that really has a lasting effect. And when consumers and customers understand that backstory, that really becomes part of their story as well.
Well, literally, the original name, Cafe di Scala, is from the village where my family came from. So, you know, towards the end of Scala, you know, my mom left us. And, you know, the dishes that she showed me that, you know, my patrons really loved, those are on the menu now. You know, those will never leave. So there is still that amazing, you know, personal connection there. I'm not here as much, you know, but when I'm here, you know, it's
there.
That food's there. Yeah. You know, not the food's still going to be great, you know, whether it's family recipes or Chef Sean's. It's, you know, it's just as polished. It's just as significant. It's just as great.
There's so much noise out there when we're talking about getting people's attention and how do you transfer this knowledge and this story and this love of food.
Right.
How do you do that now?
Well, still the old world techniques, you know, not, you know, mostly we do, or, you know, it's digital, digitally
driven. Sure, you send out emails and...
Well, yeah, the customer cards, you know, we put in the check presenters, reminding them about events coming up, whether it's a pop-up dinner, you know, or about, you know, promoting private events that can happen here. That's still there, but honestly, I cut my teeth kind of in the old school world of restaurants, and, you know, there's nothing better than word of mouth. And if someone makes it in here, and I'm fortunate enough they do, and they have an incredible experience, you know, yeah, they won't, you know, people promote bad things that happen more so than good things.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So
we hear it all the time.
But, you know, the one or two people out of those 10 people that have an amazing experience here that go and tell their friends, that is a special thing. And you know, before we open up, or I should say, when we opened up, Facebook wasn't around.
Right.
Those platforms weren't around. So this was a word of mouth. There was no dollars getting thrown at the register and the date book. There weren't dollars to do that. It was too costly. So when Facebook did roll around and Phil introduced it to this place and me, all of a sudden it was like,
oh, turn on the cash.
Yeah, we're not plugged into the whole Des Moines, but we were plugged into a whole new world, mm-hmm. you know? And so we could communicate, you know, our message of what we do really well here and show that in a picture. And, you know, before they changed everything, the algorithms and having to pay, we mentioned this, we talked about this a few weeks ago, maybe it was a few months ago, but literally I could post a picture of me in the post room with fresh cavatelli in my hand and put that on Facebook back in 2008, even 10 years ago.
Even sooner than that.
And we would get, you know, 75 to 150 likes.
In, just off
know,
that
picture. In that day.
Boom, just like that.
So now, you know, I could spend the same ad, or not same ad, same photo, I could sponsor that and put $50 on there. And I, you know, I'd be lucky if I got 100. I mean, honestly, it's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. So we went from having nothing to this free platform to now you have this platform where, you know, it's still an amazing thing, but you have to pay to play. So that's like a whole nother layer. When you say there's just all this noise, there's noise within the noise.
Right.
So, and, you know, thankfully Phil's here to like coach me and give me tips on how to, you know, beat the system, you know, or take advantage of it and harness it in a way that makes sense, you know. And I think that's really, it's crazy. It's hard to keep up. But yeah, we do, you know, word of mouth, the old email campaigns are really important to us. We have a great following, you know, a few thousand people on that list. I'm proud of that.
And that's really important because you need to keep, your current customers informed and together.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's because it costs so much more to grab somebody new.
Yeah.
Phil, if you were going to suggest to Tony maybe one or two things that he or any other business out there might better find a way to tell their story, what might that be?
Well, we always talk about this idea of documenting versus creating. And, I mean, there's one thing where you're actually, if you actually went through, cooked your beautiful meal, took a picture of it, showed the world, like, wow, this is the end product. But I really want to see how you source that butternut squash. I want to see where, like where the origin story of, you know, our friend David, who's no longer with us, who actually was part of the inspiration for that dish. He came up with it with you, right? You came up with it together.
It was all him.
It was okay. Yeah. And, you know, so being able to tell the story of that from the beginning to the end, that's something that I think we talk about these things in terms of like sales and all these things are like, okay, I'm in it to make sales. You're not going to keep the doors open. You're not going to employ the 20 people you employ, you know, indirectly or directly without bringing people in the door. And that's great. But what I'm interested in these days is legacy. Because legacy. Because you have a young daughter, younger than a year old, and, you know, wouldn't it be cool if 50 years from now your grandchildren are able to see you documenting the process of you making that pasta? How killer would that be?
Oh, yeah.
For you to be able to go to your grandpa Frank and see Frank Lacona, right? And go back to see Grandpa Frank making his, you know, canning his olives together, preserving his olives. That would be amazing. So in terms of, yes, bringing, like, we all want to think about this in terms of a short-term world.
Right.
But, like, how cool would it be to just, I'm just going to flip on my camera, take video of it.
Build legacy.
And, I mean, yes, you might get some sales out of it, but just flip on the camera of Facebook Live. Mm-hmm. Hey, I'm going to tell you about how Grandpa Frank used to do olives. This is how he taught me.
It's fabulous.
So that's what I would do.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, I think that's a fabulous idea. You know, let me tell you a story that happened to me last night. And I think this is point on to what we're talking about. It's not necessarily the business of restaurants, but I think people want to be noticed, and they want more than just a robotic event. Last night, I'm at the Windsor Heights Hy-Vee, and I bought about $30 worth of stuff that I had to have for early in the morning. And as I was going through the line, you know, the robotic question that you get at every grocery store, particularly, I think, Hy-Vee, did you find everything that you were looking for? Which I think is a stupid question in the first place. It just did something bad. Yeah, right.
He probably did something bad just to make sure.
Yeah, exactly. So she asked the robotic question. She said, "Did you find everything you looked for?" I said, yeah. You know, I brushed that off, and she stopped, and she goes, "Gosh, your hair is really great." And I kind of laughed it off.
I never get that compliment. No.
But I kind of laughed it off until I stopped and thought about it. I thought, you know, that's the essence of what we all really want. We don't want the robotic server. We don't want the robotic experience. We don't want to be...
You want an authentic
interaction. I want an authentic interaction with people. Right. And that's what that young woman did.
Right.
She, you know, and it stuck me this morning. I was going... That was really gold, you know? And I think for every business, the more that you can really pay attention to the little things with that customer, the better off you are. Yeah?
In this noisy world we're in now, absolutely. That encounter goes a hell of a lot farther. 20 years ago, if someone made that comment, I'm sure you would... process that a little differently, right?
Right. Right.
You know? Now we're just so engaged with so many things flying. You know, I always use the analogy, it's like playing asteroids, you know, you're just like shooting down things that are trying to attack you. You're just trying to go forward, march forward. I just need to
get out of my way.
You know, the phone ringing, an email, you know, you get a notification from someone who's going to make a reservation on Facebook. It's just nonstop. Like, it's nonstop, but it's those moments where someone actually takes just an authentic moment.
Yeah.
The time.
See? I think that's so cool. The secret to business. If we can get to that, and do the word of mouth, do all of the stuff that we're doing with social media.
Right.
But when we take that time and you're in your dining space or in your business, wherever it happens to be, and actually connect with that, and it can be something as innocuous as, "I really like your hair," or what a pretty dress, or you know, whatever it happens to be. I think it rocks. Oh, well, that's that. We're done. Phil K. James. What does the K stand for?
Kraneski. When I got married to my wife, I took her middle name. I took her last name as my middle name, switched it from Glenn, and now it's Kraneski.
Kraneski. So, I like it.
Yeah.
Oh, it's got gravitas, it's man.
Polish. And, you know, and when I...
Yakshamash.
When this happened, that's the only word I know in Polish is yes. Okay, so when this actually happened, I took it to my wife's grandmother, and I told her that I did this, and she said, "Why the hell would you do something like that?" Which I thought was brilliant. I had to show her my ID to prove her that I actually did it.
That's an authentic story.
Another authentic story. It's called Marketing for Business. This is episode 12 on Insight on Business, the News Hour, and we just burned through 33 minutes. Phil K. James, you said it wouldn't be that long.
I got to pick up my kids from school now, so I've been around.
Exactly. Thanks so very much for doing this. And Tony, thanks for opening up your restaurant to us and having us in for this intimate discussion.
An absolute pleasure. Hi, Georgie.
Yeah.